following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, this morning we're in for a special treat, and to set up that special treat, I'm going to read the passage of the place that we're going to be studying in. So if you would look up at the screen, and you can read silently along with me from Luke chapter 2, verse 22. Now, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. Can you imagine, after these years of waiting, the excitement of this man as he meets his Savior?
Gila! Gila, where are you? It's happened, my dear. All is well. He's come. It's finally happened. Gila, where are you? Come quick. Oh, my. Well, hello, I suppose, and shalom, shalom, thank you, shalom back to you. And but who are all you people? And how did you get into my house? Oh my, what is this? Oh, I think I understand. My lovely wife, Gila, probably invited all of you here. She has such a wonderful gift of hospitality. She lives up to her name, Gila. Do you know what that means? Joy. Isn't that a wonderful name? And she was so filled with joy all the time. Well, if Gila has welcomed you, I welcome you into our home. And may shalom be upon you. But oh, I must find her. I must find her. I must tell her what's just happened. Do you know what's happened? Well, of course you don't know what happened. It just happened, and you're down here, and it happened way up there on the Temple Mount. But it's so wonderful, and I must tell her. But if I can't find her, if she won't show up, then maybe I'll tell you. I'll start with you. Oh, it's just so amazing. But where do I begin to tell this story? Let me start at the beginning of this wonderful day, like no other day for me. It started like every other day, though. I woke up early before the sun rises. Oh, and don't tell her I told you this, but I must tell you, I always get up long before her. She says she needs her beauty sleep. And if you know her, you know it's working. She's very, very beautiful. But I rise up early and I just whisper a few prayers, and then I quietly get out of bed and I go about some of my morning chores, feeding the animals outside. And by the time I'm done, I come in the house and Gila has already prepared a wonderful but simple breakfast for us. And we sit down together, we give thanks, and then after breakfast, we clean up, and then I tell her goodbye, I kiss her goodbye, and then I go off into my day, off to prayers maybe up at the temple or to one of the synagogues close by our house, and then off to my trade. But this day, Gila asked me to take a small parcel of food to an elderly woman, really a widow. She lives up at the temple. No, really. She lives at the temple. She's not just there every day. You see, her husband passed away many, many, many years ago, and she had no children. And she decided if she couldn't live with her husband, she would live with her God. And she is at the temple all the time, praying for people and speaking the words of God to people. She really is a prophetess right there in our city at the Temple Mount. And Gila had asked me to take some food to her just to make sure that she had enough to make it through the next couple of days. And so I made my way up those southern steps of the temple. You know them. And as I came into the courts of the Gentiles there at Solomon's porch, I just began to look through her as I made my way across those marvelous stones that make that courtyard there. And I was almost over to the court of the women when I heard the voice of my friend Avi behind me. And he called out and he said, "Shalom, Simeon, shalom, you're late." He's always reminding me that I have trouble with time. And I was turning around to say, "Yes, Simeon," or yes, Avi. Avi, I said, "Yes, I'm late, but you're rude, as always." But as I turned to tell him, I saw them. It was just a young couple. But something about them caught my attention and my heart. Oh, I've seen many, many, many young couples bringing their children to be dedicated there on the Temple Mount. And the man was holding a newborn infant in his arms. And you could tell it was there first. Because of the way that he was holding this child, he was holding it like a sack of lentils or a couple of loaves of bread. And it reminded me of our firstborn and how awkward it was for me. How do you hold one of these things? But they were making their way and they stopped. And the woman reached up just to tuck the swaddling cloth around this baby a little bit tighter. And she said to her husband, "My dear, do you think he's warm enough? Do you think he's warm enough?" And her husband laughed at her. He said, "Stop fussing over him. He's fine. He's fine. He's got to learn to be tough anyway with the road that is ahead." But there was something about them. There was just humility about them. And all the man's tenderness for his child and his bride. Something in me stirred in my heart, my soul, I don't know. But something in me asked this question, could this be him? Oh, let me explain to you. It was a thought that was almost too much to entertain for that moment. But I told you how my day started, but I left one thing out. You see, every morning before I walk out that door and I go about my trade and about my business, I stop at the doorpost, and right along the doorpost of our home are written these words. Maybe they're on your doorpost as well. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your strength, and all your might. That's what our faith is all about. To love our God with everything that we are. And life doesn't begin until you've begun to love Him who's loved you so much that He gave you life. But I'll always stop and just pray that prayer out loud. And then I always pray one more prayer. And it's really just more like a question. I look up to the heavens and I say, well, Yahweh, is today the day? You see, years before, I was in the synagogue pouring over the scroll of Isaiah and those prophecies that one day Yahweh would send our Messiah. And I remember stopping at that prophecy in Isaiah where he said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and you will call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And of the increase of his government, there will be no end. And I just stopped and I raised my hands and my voice and my eyes toward heaven. And I said, oh, Yahweh, when? How long, oh, Lord? Have you ever prayed that? Oh, how long, oh, Lord? How long? When? No sooner had I said, when, than I felt a presence. I can't explain it, but it was a powerful presence in that synagogue with me. And then I heard a voice. Now, don't think me strange for hearing voices. I don't hear voices all the time, but I heard a voice that day. And again, I didn't know if it came from my own mind, my heart deep in my soul, or if this voice was with that presence in the room with me. But it simply said this, soon, Simeon, soon, but you will live to see your Messiah. You will not die until you've seen your Messiah. I was just stunned. The voice stopped at that moment, and the synagogue got quiet again, and I wondered, what did I just hear? Did I hear the voice of God? Was I dreaming? Was I making this up? But that presence, it was still so strong upon me. And something in my heart changed that day. You see, when God speaks to you, you must do something about it. Whether he's spoken to you from his scrolls, from the scriptures, or he's spoken a promise to your heart as he did that day, you must do something. And to begin with, you must believe him. Though you may not understand, do you know what I mean? Have you ever read something in scripture you didn't understand, but you said, oh God, if you said it, I believe it. That settles it. But you believe. And then you begin to make changes in your life. Because if you're a believer, then you live the way he asked you to believe. And if there's things that need to go, you let them go. But then you begin to devote yourself to this God who has spoken to you. Oh, and then the most difficult thing of all, I know you'll agree with me, you wait. And you wait. And sometimes, don't you wait longer than you wanted to wait for God to do what he said he would do? But because he's faithful, you wait. And I had waited. I had waited years. See, when that voice said soon, I thought soon. I thought this would happen quickly, but it didn't. And I didn't hear any more voices until today up on that mount. Because as I saw that couple standing there, just so tender and so humble, that voice returned to my heart and it said, this is the one you've waited for, Simeon. I couldn't speak. I mean, I could barely think. I'd wondered, what would I do the moment that I found him? You see, all of those years as I waited, I looked. Oh, I looked in the eyes of rabbi after rabbi after rabbi. Is this the one? Is this the one? And they proved that they were not the one. I looked in the eyes of prophets, self-proclaimed prophets, and preachers, and teachers. And when I looked in the eyes of children, You think that's strange? I mean, after all, who is less tainted than a child? But it was none of them until this day. And then I looked, and my joy, it turned to confusion for a moment, because I looked down into the hand of that young, tender woman, that wife, that mother, and there in her hand was a cage. And in the cage were two little birds. Do you know what that means? You see, the offering for a woman when she comes on the day of her purification, 40 days after the birth of a son, she brings an offering with her. And that offering, the scripture says it is to be a lamb and a bird. Unless, only one condition can the offering change, if you're poor. I mean, very poor. How could this be? How could this be our Messiah? Born into a poor family? Shouldn't he be born into wealth and means? How could this make sense? But that voice spoke again, unmistakably and strong to my heart. It said, Simeon, this is the one. And I always wondered, what would I say? What should I say? What would I do when I found him? And all of my plans were gone from my mind, and I just found myself walking towards this couple. And I saw my friend Avi, and he was looking at me like, what are you doing? But I came close to this couple, and my arms just extended to the man. I looked him in the eyes, and I said, may I? May I hold him? May I bless your son for you? And he looked down at his wife like they were just in awe of what was happening. And she looked up at him, and she just nodded to him, and he handed the child to me, holding him there in my arms. I can't explain the feeling that I had, but I asked their names. The man's name was Yosef, and he introduced his bride to me. Her name was Miriam, and as I held that child, I watched as Miriam just clutched the arm of her husband, Yosef, and she leaned her head against his shoulder. And then she leaned in towards me and she said, Yeshua. I said, pardon me? She said, his name is Yeshua, Jesus. Of course it was Yeshua. Do you know what Yeshua means? It means Yahweh, our God, will save us. It was a perfect name for our Messiah, our deliverer, our King, our Savior. And as I stood there with Yeshua, Jesus, in my arms, I just raised him up a little towards heaven, and I just began to pray. And the first thing that came to mind was this, oh, Yahweh, now you're allowing me, your servant, to depart in peace, because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the people, a light to bring revelation to Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. I looked at Yosef and Miriam, and they looked at one another like, what did he say? And I thought to myself, what did I just say? Did I say a blessing to the Gentiles? Oh my gosh, that had never occurred to me, but a blessing to the Gentiles, revelation to the Gentiles. I had to say what was on my heart, a revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. But there was more in my heart. And I could barely get the courage to say this to them. And it was meant for Miriam herself. And I found the courage somehow, and I leaned in close, and I blessed them again. And I said, oh, my dear Miriam, this child has a destiny. You see, he's destined for the fall of many in Israel and for the rising of many in Israel. And then I said this, and he will be for a sign that will be harshly spoken against. And then I stopped again. How could I say this next thing to her? But how could I not, when Yahweh had put this in my heart? And so I leaned in again, and just barely above a whisper, I looked Miriam in the eyes, and I said, my dear, a sword will pierce your very soul, that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And it changed their countenance. It changed the sense in my heart as well. How could I have said that?
But it's what God gave me to say. But that moment of sadness, somberness was broken by a shout. And it was something like, Alleluia! Really, it was more like, Alleluia! It was a woman. And it was Anna who I'd been looking for to give the food to. And it was her favorite word. She said Alleluia all the time, over and over again, all day long as she prayed for people. And as she spoke to them of the goodness and the love of their God, she had seen the whole thing. She had seen this couple. She'd been watching as I took their child, Yeshua, Jesus, into my arms. And she had heard my prayer as I lifted him up towards heaven and I dedicated him, in a sense, to God. And she began to come closer. I knew she wanted a better look. She loves babies. Do you love babies too? She loved babies. And this was a special one. And so I bent down and I held Yeshua down so she could look into his eyes. And she just looked and said, oh my, Alleluia, Alleluia. Shook her head, and then she began to hurry throughout the court of the Gentiles, talking to everyone who had come with their offerings, who were looking for forgiveness. Have you ever asked God to forgive you and hoped that he would? She went to everyone who'd come looking for redemption or for forgiveness or for hope or for God's blessing upon them. And she said to them, I don't know how, but your redemption and your hope, it's all wrapped up in that little baby, Yeshua, Yeshua. It was just amazing what was happening just moments ago up on our Temple Mount. And I was just in wonder. And so I slowly handed Yeshua back to Joseph. And I blessed them one more time. And I told them, oh, I would come looking for them again. But I said, I must go home and tell my wonderful wife, Gila, where in the world is she? I said, I must tell her what has happened. And so I handed him back. And then I hurried back here to tell you. And I don't know what happens next. But I do know this, that as I held that little baby boy in these old, old arms, something of that hope entered my heart. And I don't know how this is going to happen, but I know as I looked into his face and as I just touched his cheek, it almost felt as if he was holding me instead of me holding him. It was like he had found me after all these years. I had searched all over. I couldn't find him, but he found me that day. And I will never be the same, because I held him in my arms. And I don't know how long I'll live now, but I know it's safe for me to die finally, because I've seen him. But if I live to be as old as Moses and as old as Abraham, it doesn't matter. Because even if I were to die today, I know that, listen, all is well. All is well. And it's safe for me to depart, because I've seen and I've embraced my Savior, Yeshua. It's safe for me to die. It's safe for you to die too, if you've embraced him, if you love him and you've trusted him. And it's safe for my lovely bride, Gila, wherever she is. It's safe for her too, if I could ever find her and tell her, Gila, where are you? Gila, listen, you must.
Simeon,
you must
oh, Simeon.
There
oh,
you
so,
are.
There you are. Oh, I'm
where
so
have you
excited.
Been?
I can't wait to tell you what just happened.
I've been looking all over for you.
I was just at the
Gila.
Temple. I've been looking all over for you.
Well, where have you been?
But I've been at the temple because
what?
Because I know that you went over there to
yeah.
take the food to Anna.
Yes,
and
yes,
I
did.
Went over there, you know, but you didn't take her the shawl. So
oh,
I got
I
to take her the shawl. And so I took the shawl to Anna.
You saw
and
Anna?
While I was there with Anna, she told me the
no.
wonderful news.
Well, that's what I came to tell you.
Oh, yeah. I am so excited.
Oh, isn't it wonderful?
It's wonderful.
It's safe
awesome.
Now. It's safe for me to depart. I'm not saying I'm ready to go right now, but
no,
I mean it's
no,
safe for
no,
me to depart.
But,
and my dear, it's safe for you too. Oh, but I have an amazing story to tell you. There's more than Anna told you. I held him in my arms.
Oh, no.
Come, I must tell you. What?
Who are these people?
I,
How did they get into our house?
I thought you invited them. I thought these were your friends.
Oh, no, but...
Well, where did they come from?
But they're certainly welcome. You told them the story, right?
Yes, I did. Did you leave the door open?
Oh, you told them about it? No, I didn't leave it. But hold the...
Oh, there's so much more.
Accept him. Accept him. He's the one. He's the one you've been looking for. Shalom.
Shalom to you. Come. I must tell you more.
Oh, I can't wait to hear the whole story.
It's so amazing, my dear. Where were you?
It's so good. I was over there, and I was over there, and...
Oh, man.
Hey, Gila.
Oh, man. I have, I've been waiting to tell you that story. And you've heard from Joseph, or about him, and you've heard from Miriam. How many of you didn't know that her Hebrew name was Miriam and his Hebrew name was Joseph? And that baby's Hebrew name was Yeshua. Now you know. But I've been so excited to tell you this story about the response. And I think when I look at all these different characters in the Christmas story, I think the one, whether he knew it or not, that he nailed the point was Simeon. Because he's the one that says, now it's safe for me to depart. And he says, now I can depart in peace because I've seen the Lord's salvation. You see, this was long before, how many years? 33 years before Jesus would take your sins and mine to a cross, willingly and obedient to take our sins and carry them away. But that man, and by the way, you know, as you read the Bible more and more, how many of you have read the Bible and passages more than one time? And you found something new in those passages you've read over and over and over again? You know, the Bible doesn't say that Miriam said anything in quotation marks. There's not one word in Scripture of what she said, except to say in general, as she told everyone, she went throughout the temple, and I guess throughout the rest of her life, telling everyone, if you're looking for hope, you'll find it in Jesus. And something else I never noticed, that it doesn't say that Simeon was an old man. And I think it's even more profound that it doesn't say that he was an old man. He might have been a young man. It just has him saying, now, whenever I die, now I can depart in peace because I've seen the Lord's Christ, which he has prepared before the face of all the world to give hope to Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. It's one Savior for all, but Simeon understood this. And we need to get this too, that it is not safe for any of us to die until we have received the Christ, until we've allowed the Savior to save us and allowed the Deliverer to deliver us. We've allowed the hope of all the world to become our hope. See, until that point, it's just a yearly Christmas story, isn't it? And I remember year after year, I would go and I would stand at the Living Nativity outside Batavia, Ohio, near Cincinnati. Or I'd, you know, sing the Christmas carols when we first moved out here in 1967, lived on Ocean Boulevard. My brother and my sisters and I took little tin cups and our guitars, and we walked around the neighborhood singing Christmas carols to people, hoping for a quarter here, or 50 cents, or whatever it was, so we could buy some Christmas presents. We were pretty poor, but it was just the story until 1970, as a very, very broken, confused young man in Long Beach, I said, Jesus, forgive my sins, and he did, and I embraced the Christ, and from November 9th, 1970, it's been safe for me to depart. Like I said, I'm not looking to depart today, but I'm ready. And if you've received the Christ, then you're ready too. And if you haven't, I just encourage you today to say to the God who made you, to say, God, I want to give you what's left of my life. I want to understand life on your terms. I want to know why you made me. I read an article in the paper. Oh my goodness! Some of you will remember her name. She's a rock star soccer star. What's her name? She's like at the top of the heap right now. What is it?
Adele.
No, not rock star. I meant that facetiously. Soccer star. No. Somebody said it.
Alex Morgan.
No. Wombach. Yeah. And I read this article, and it says, you know, what are you, you know, what, and it was just little questions about what's your life all about. And this one question was, what's the biggest question in your life? What do you look for? She said, I'm looking for the answer on why I'm alive. Why am I here? I'd love to talk to her and let her know you're here because God loves you and you were created to have a relationship, a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so were you. So I want to invite you right now to just open your heart and say, Jesus, take what's left of my life. Forgive my sins. I want to know you. I want to serve you. I want to walk with you. I want to love you. And I want to tell everyone else who's looking for hope. Maybe that's your mom or your dad. Maybe that's your brothers, your sisters. Maybe it's the people that are going to be sitting around the table with you at Christmas looking for hope. And you get to tell them something like I got to tell the young lady that was sitting in the middle seat on Southwest on the way back from Denver this about 3 days ago. You know when you get on Southwest, how many of you fly Southwest? You know you don't have a seat, right? You've got a boarding pass in a herd of cattle. And so if you're like B36, forget about a window, forget about an aisle, you're going to probably be right in the middle. How many of you love the middle seat? Well, I paid a little bit of money to get an A card, and they put me like A4. Wonderful, I'm going to get a window. And so I come in, and I move over to the window. Another woman sits down on the aisle, and we're getting ready to take off. And this other young lady, she sits right there in the middle between us. And we didn't talk really much at all until probably about 30 minutes before we landed. And then I knew why I had, bumped up into the A group. So I could tell that young lady this. I believe with all my heart that Jesus put you there and me here so that I could tell you that he loves you. And he's your only hope. He loves you. And and God sent me here today to tell you that too. That he loves you and he wants you. And you can find that peace that he promised if you just simply open your heart. So I want to pray with you right now. And then we're going to sing another couple of songs. And you're going to get out earlier than you ever get out when you come to Refuge. So let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this story that comes alive. And may it stay alive in us, Lord. May it not just be more religious data that comes and goes and we tuck it away in a folder until next year. But Father, I pray that you would come alive. That truth would come alive in hearts this morning, Lord. And then some hearts, even right now, would just open up and make that surrender to you. Father, you said in your word that you so loved this world that you gave your only son, your only begotten son, Jesus, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, Father, I pray for hearts to open even right now. Thank you, Father. Let me ask you to keep your eyes closed for just a moment. And I'm going to give this invitation. If there's anybody here today that would say, you know what, maybe I've never understood it like that. I've never heard it like that. But I want to open my heart to Jesus, and I want to ask him to come and live in me, forgive my sins, and just take over my life. Or maybe it's I want to come back to him. Maybe you walked with him as a child, and then you walked away, and that relationship has gotten old and stale, and today he invites you back. And if that's you in any of those categories, and you're just ready to make that move close to him, I just want to ask you to raise your hand, and we're going to all pray together. Anybody this morning? Yeah, way over there to my right, way over there. Anybody else? Yeah, and over here to my left too. God bless you. Anyone else that would say, yeah, I want to know Jesus. I want his peace in my life. Anybody else? Raise your hand quickly and then the whole congregation is going to pray. Yes, sir. Way over there by the side door. God bless you. Anybody else? All right. And over by the other side door, the right and the left. I want us all now to pray. Let's lift up this simple prayer together and accompany those that are just surrendering their heart right now. Let's pray like this. Father in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus on that first Christmas day. And I thank you that he took my sins to a cross on that crucifixion day. I have sin, and I ask you to forgive me. And I thank you that Jesus rose from the dead, and I open my heart now for him to come live in me. Make my heart your home. In Jesus' name, the rest of my life is yours. Amen. Amen. Let's thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song that it's one that I wrote a long, long time ago. And I'm going to invite you to sing it with me. The words, I think, are going to be up there on the screen. For this, the child has come. Just listen to how the first verse goes and then jump in. Shepherds waiting in the dark, wise men traveling from afar to see a king beneath the star. For you, this child has come. Every hungry heart like mine ever seeks but never finds. That stills our troubled minds. Us this child has come. In manger there upon the straw, a perfect son without one flaw. In heaven and earth now stand in awe. Promised child has come. To every prisoner wrapped in, sing with me, to those who search, to those who search for love again, heaven hears your sad refrain. For you this child has come. To every orphan, every orphan without home, lift high your head, you're not alone. The only son gave up his throne. For you the child has come. I know this verse is going to hit some hearts today, because it's one of those verses in this song that really is more an autobiography of the pain and the burdens that I carried. And I know I'm not alone. You live long enough, you carry burdens. And you weren't meant to carry those burdens on your own. You were meant to drop them at the feet of Jesus. So if maybe a few minutes ago you didn't pray with us, I want to ask you just to drop those burdens before Jesus, the one who says, come to me, all you who labor, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. For every soul that cannot feel, frozen hearts as cold as steel, from ancient wounds that will not heal, for you this child has come. In manger there upon the straw, the Son of God without one flaw. The road ahead leads to a cross, but for this the child has come. Now let's sing this, you know this one so well. Let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. For he alone is worthy. Never seek but never find. His peace will still our troubled minds. For us the child has come. For us the child has come. One more song. Oh, kneel me down again here at your feet. Show me how much you love humility. Oh, Spirit.
This humble heart of love I see. For you are the God of the broken, the friend of the weak. You wash the feet of the weary, embrace the ones in need. And I want to be like you, Jesus, to have this heart in me. You are the God of the humble. You are the humble King.
Let's stand together.
Here in this dusty ground, I bow with kings, where wise men laid before their offerings. I lay no golden crown here at your feet, just this my broken life I offer thee. 'Cause you are the God of the broken, the friend of the weak, and you wash the feet of the weary, embrace the ones in need. And I want to be like you, Jesus, to have this heart in me. 'Cause you are the God of the humble. You are the humble King. 'Cause you are the God of the humble. You are the humble King.
Well, our worship team's going to come back out, and we're going to close with one more chorus. But I feel, before I send you out, still early, and if you have children that are in Sunday school, give them till 10:15, because they're still doing their thing and they're not used to the preacher here getting done early. I really believe there are some of you in here today that something in you is stirred. And maybe you were like me when I was, 16, and the great heartbreak and shattering thing of my life took place. I abandoned God. I didn't want anything to do with Him, and certainly didn't want anything to do with religion, and I still don't. But I want Jesus. And if you've got religion and Jesus all confused together, get the religion side of it out, all the ceremony, all the ritual and all that, and just understand there's a God that approached you in Christ. He came for you. And I say this a lot these days. He came for you, and there's no one else that's coming for you to save you. Jesus is the only Savior that there is, and it really is that simple. You meet Him on level ground, because He leveled the ground because of the cross. And He came to take your sin out of the way, and you can be free today. Hey, let's say thank you to the Wilson High School Ensemble this morning, our violin players. Yeah, thank you, guys. That was beautiful. Beautiful. And led by Michelle Ellis and Wyatt and Cheryl. Weren't they great? Weren't they amazing? Thanks for being with us today. You really, really made the day. God bless you. Grace and peace upon you. If you need prayer, the team is up here. All is well. All is well because He came. God bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.